There's always something that's hard. Always. But we do not lose hope. And the things that are written in the scriptures are written in there to encourage us, to give us endurance so that we won't lose hope. Because the same God that was with those that caused them to overcome is the same God that's here today and will cause you to have hope in your hardest times. Hey, Pastor, I mean, how hard is it going to get? I don't know. But here's what I do know. No matter how hard it gets, our God is greater still. No matter how hard it gets, he can reach down deep and he can pick you up no matter what kind of pit you're in. You're not without his hope because he's there and he's with you. You can have hope even in hard times. Maybe it's, see, God's punishing me. I don't think he's punishing, I think he's preparing you. Because he's creating an endurance in you. A character in you. Why waste the tough time? Why not make it a fruitful time and endure and come out of it better because your hope kept you anchored in your soul? There's hope when God seems silent. Psalm chapter 27, 14 says, "Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and be of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Wait in hope." Don't you hate waiting? I hate waiting. I just hate it. I want to go. I want to progress. I want to move. That's why we all hate traffic, because we want to get somewhere. We hate waiting in line because we want to get somewhere. Nobody likes waiting. But in those waiting times, God sometimes seems silent, doesn't he? I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. He's not answering. Why isn't he answering? There's hope even in the silent times. I'll never forget our trip. It's been a number of years ago to the DR Congo. You don't know where that country is, right? Almost the center of Africa. Rough, rough area. You remember the genocide with the Hutus and the Tutsis back in the 90s in Rwanda? Well, a lot of that bled over into the DR Congo. We took a mission trip. We had to fly a small prop plane from Uganda over into the country where we stopped at a place called Kindu, the capital of Manyema province, to help build a Bible school. While we were there, we did some ministry. And I'll never forget it's like a large village, dirt roads, and very, very primitive. We had to cross the Congo River. It was quite wide, about a 10-minute boat ride. Well, I say boat. The boats they had were hollowed out trees that they had cut down and put an outboard motor on them. And we sat there, and a young pastor sat next to me. His shirt was a bit too large for him, hung loosely on his body. He had a jacket over that, though, a blazer. It looked like it had been a hand-me-down from about 7 or 8 people. His pants didn't match. Shirt and his jacket. And when he climbed in the boat, I noticed that the shoes he was wearing had holes in the bottom and his bare feet shone through the bottom of his shoes. But he was proud. He had his goat on. He was a pastor. And he sat next to me as we were motoring across the river. There was an island in the middle of the river. He said, "Pastor, that's the island where they took the people to kill them. During the genocide, they would take people, and everybody and every family had someone taken there. And they took them. They killed them on that island." But he looked at me and his eyes brightened and he smiled. In my mind, I thought, what does this man have to smile about? He looked at me. He said, "We prayed. During those violent times, we prayed. Nothing happened. We prayed that the violence would stop and nothing happened. We prayed that our loved ones would be freed and they weren't. And we were tempted to stop praying because we were convinced that nobody saw us and God didn't even see us. But his big dark eyes, like he looked into my soul, he said, "But you came." He says, "But you came. And because you came, we realize that God does see us. God does see us. You gave us hope. Even when God doesn't seem to answer, we can lose hope. But he sees you. It may be through the dark night of your soul. It may be through pain that you couldn't imagine you could bear. But the hope of God is an anchor for your soul, firm and secure. And that young man, he endured all of that horror to be able to look me in the eye and say, because you came, we have hope. God sees us. When God seems silent, hope lies right beneath the surface. Hope works when you don't know how. Sometimes you don't know how to hope. But let me tell you this, you know who to hope in. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Let me read that again. Let us hold unswervingly. Hold to the anchor of your soul. Hold it. I know it's rough. I know it's hard. I know it's confusing. I know it's difficult. I know you don't know what to do. Hold. Hold unswervingly to the hope. Don't let go of the anchor for your soul. Because there's hope. There's hope in your future. People with no hope in the future, they just throw off restraint. But people who hope in the future, they live different. They really do. They live different. When life is over for those who don't have hope, there's weeping and wailing. When life is over for those that have hope, it's very different. We're going to have a memorial service this weekend. On Friday, I'll travel with Claudia and Robert's family to Sacramento and say goodbye there to Sylvia. And then on Saturday, we'll celebrate here. And you know, there'll be tears. There should be. There should be, because we grieve the loss of someone that's loved. But there's hope, because we know where Sylvia is. And so we'll celebrate, even amongst the tears. You see, those who have hope, they face life different and they face death different, because we have a future. That's why. We know that when Sylvia breathed her last, she didn't breathe her last. Oh, she breathed her last earthly breath, but she's still breathing a heavenly breath, a glorified breath, a bright and shining breath, as she looks at her maker eye to eye, face to face, and she's glorified. No more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sin, and she'll be living in joy forever and ever. That's the hope that we profess, and that's why we die different. What greater expression can there be about the life of a Christian when 1 Corinthians says, "Death, where is your sting?" What that means is we die different. We don't die in despair. We die with hope, because we know that we go through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stop in it. We go through it because we're with the one who's already gone through it. We're with the one who's the resurrected Savior. Here's what Scripture says. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." Oh, we mourn for the loss, but we don't grieve like those who have no hope. For those who have no hope think that the last breath is the end. With those who have hope, we know that the last breath is the beginning of eternity. And it's very, very, very hopeful. It's the anchor for your soul. It keeps you firm and secure. "If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." Why not just throw off restraint if there's no hope? But we know there is. So we don't throw off restraint. We know that we live for a God who loves us, a God who died for us. No matter how many people try to shoot political leaders or others, no matter how many riots, no matter how many times the market goes up and down, no matter how many times just the morality of the nation goes unhinged, That stuff's earthly stuff. We have an anchor for our soul, and it gives us a hope. And finally, the last reason that we have hope is because the hope is not a thing. Hope is a person. In the first century, there was probably the greatest loss of hope ever. And that was when the promised Messiah came to this earth, surprised those who believed in him, angered those who didn't. And they thought he was the new coming king to restore the hopes of a nation. But he was crucified and he died. And the hopes vanished with that bloodstained cross. And on the third day, the ladies went to the tomb to refresh the body. And when they went there, the body wasn't there. Double jeopardy on loss of hope. We lost him and now we can't even find where he is to show our respects, to take care of the body. What are we going to do? What's going to happen next? Psalm 39:7 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for?" Maybe you're there today. What do I look for? What do I do? Or Psalm 42:5 says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me?" I've been there, have you? What's wrong with me? Why am I just so down? Why am I just so, ugh? You don't even have words. You can't describe what it feels like. It's just like, what is my problem? Well, as the ladies, Mary in particular, was walking in the garden, she heard a voice. And Mary did what we all need to do today. When she heard the voice, the scripture says, and she turned toward him. And she turned toward him. And there she found hope. Because there she found her Savior. The rest of that verse in Psalm 39 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for?" The answer, my hope is in you. Psalm 42, "Why so downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" The answer, put your hope in God. "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." When Jesus spoke, Mary turned toward him, and there she locked eyes with the one that just 3 days before hung on a cross, and she watched him die, and she watched him wrapped, and she watched him laid in a tomb. But he is the resurrection and the life. He is our hope. Church, don't look for your hope in other things. Don't be idolatrous. Instead, let's be like Mary. Let's turn toward the one who's calling you right now. Have you lost hope? His voice is talking to you right now. And it's saying, your name. Hear him say your name. Then our simple response is turn to him. Turn. And there you'll find hope. You'll find hope for your soul. Like an anchor, firm and secure. What is there to fear? Why not? The philosopher Pascal said, if God is real, you gain everything. If God isn't real, you've lost nothing. So if you're afraid today, think, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can trust a God that I have to trust by faith. I don't know. What have you got to lose? Nothing if he's not real. But if he is real, then you gain everything. And let me tell you right now, for someone who's served the Lord for 48 years, he's real. He's real. His word is true. And he is the anchor for our soul. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the hope that you've given us. The blessed hope, your word says. The living hope Your word says in another place, today you are our living hope, our blessed hope, and you are the anchor for our soul. Lord, I don't know if everybody in this room right now feels that secure. It's quite possible that the hardships of this life have caused some to despair. That your silences, when they've cried out, have left them feeling lost and even tempted to walk away. For if God doesn't answer, what good is he? Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would just speak right now to every heart as we pause to listen to you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just invite you in the next few seconds, just simply, wherever you are in life, whatever's going on, just ask God, God, what do you want me to know? I'm listening. And let him speak to you. Let's just take a moment and listen, shall we? Because I know this, God can bring healing to your soul faster and more effectively than any sermon, than any man's advice, any counseling. God can bring hope to your soul in a moment. Just like hope came to Mary's soul when she heard her name spoken by her Savior, and she turned to him. Let's take a moment to listen. What do you want me to know, God? Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. You're a good God. And I know that maybe some have a difficulty hearing your voice. Maybe skepticism, maybe just cluttered mind, fear maybe. Lord, I pray that you would continue to follow them, speak to them, each one. And I thank you for your word. Even if we battle with hearing from you, your word is full of words of hope that we are yours. We are created in your image. We have been bought with a price. We are your precious sons and daughters. We are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. We are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from your love. And on and on and on the promises go. Lord, help us to rest on those truths. Let them be the hope, the anchor for our soul. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. Thank you, Lord. Still, your heads bowed. It's always good to respond. It's a show of honesty and surrender. When we hear something that touches our heart. If you're here today saying, I need that, I need hope. When you asked us to repeat, there is hope, it was hard for me. It was hard because I'm going through a pretty hopeless time right now. But I'm going to step out in faith and say, I will trust God. Even when it's hard, even when he's silent, I will trust him. I will lay hold of anchor for my soul. If you need that little extra prayer this morning, just slip up a hand, put it back down. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Hope is hard to come by right now because life is tough. Any others join these? Thank you. Father, you see the hands that have gone up, and they're just being honest, saying it's hard. Lord, I pray, you know their situations, you know where they are. But Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would rest on them and let them experience a comfort, even in the midst of difficulty. Let them experience that peace that surpasses understanding. Replace that despair with a thankful heart. Replace that fear with courage. Replace those things that would drag them down with things that will lift them up. God, give them hope. Thank you, Jesus, for this morning. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise. In the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, the one who is the resurrection and the life, the one who is our hope, his name is Jesus, and he is the strong Son of God. Amen. Amen. If you raised your hand and you'd like somebody to pray with you, I would really, really encourage that, because there's hope in numbers. The Bible says that so much better is two than one. And a cord of many strands is not easily broken. So it's better when we go through this stuff together. There'll be some leaders at either front, side, corners. And come up and pray with them. You don't have to tell them all the details. You just say, you know, I just kind of like prayer. Maybe I'm struggling today. Let them pray with you. All right? We're going to enjoy time of barbecue outside. And for those that are maybe new today, you don't know what that's all about. We are doing the barbecue because we like to eat. And we're doing it because we like to be together. But we're asking for donations to the barbecue. And we're doing that because we have a missionary who is part of our congregation. Her name is Joy. And she has been a missionary in France. She came home to study to get her marriage and family counseling credential, and now she's going back to France to work with women in the sex trade. And so we want to make sure that Joy has the proper transportation. And so we're raising money to get her a vehicle so that when she goes to France, she can just be on the road and she can go. So when you go out to the barbecue, put a lot of money in the basket, because every penny is going to go to make sure that Joy gets her car. And she's looking at next July-ish, next summer. So we've got a ways to go. So we're going to do this a lot. So if you didn't come prepared, wait till next time, and we'll get you then. So let me just pray and thank God for this morning. We'll dismiss us. If you want to come pray, do that. If you'd like to linger, you can linger quietly. Otherwise, go outside, enjoy some food, and let's support Joy and have some good fellowship this afternoon. Father, thank you for your just wonderful day today. What a joy to worship you, to celebrate kids camp last week, and so much fun to see all the kids just singing and dancing and celebrating. What a beautiful sight that is. And thank you, Lord, for filling us this morning with your blessed hope. Help us each day, Lord, to walk in that. We love you and we give you the glory. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you go in hope. Pray as you like. Let's go enjoy some fellowship.